Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies, where we are talking about a win. Not a loss, but a win. I've forgotten what it's like. Have you forgotten what it's like? I haven't forgotten that I'm Peter Edmiston. That much I do know. And I do know we've talked about a lot of losses, but we haven't talked about very many wins. Not since January 29th have we had a chance to even discuss a win here, but the Grizzlies beat the Denver Nuggets, a team that is actually a playoff quality team. And you know what? They played pretty poorly, but the Grizzlies really, really wanted this win. We'll talk about what this win means, what happens now, and what does it do for the rest of the season to actually finally get a win under their belt. So we'll do all that coming up here in just a moment, and kind of an update too on some of the things that we've seen in the NCAA tournament with regard to a lot of the prospects. Frankly, a lot of the prospects the Grizzlies will be looking at are already home after a crazy, tumultuous first weekend of the NCAA tournament. But let's start with the Grizzlies and the win over Denver. 101-94 was the final on Saturday night, and it was, as I mentioned, the first win in 20 games. 0-19 becomes 1-20, and the Grizzlies avoid taking that losing streak all the way to 20 games. Let's be honest. We talked about it before. This streak was starting to weigh heavily on the Grizzlies. This streak was really starting to psychologically be a problem for the team. Now, I grant you, without a doubt, that this team just, if we take you need to take the mental stuff out of it, it is absolutely better for them to lose every game from here on out. It would be better for them to have lost Saturday. It would be better for them to have lost, it'd be better for them to lose tonight. It'd be better for them to lose the rest of the way. We can stipulate that that would give you the best possible opportunity at the best possible player. That is absolutely 100% true. However, these are human beings. These are people. And this organization has gone through a hell of a year this year. A hell of a ringer. A lot of it of their own making. Some of it out of their control. And, you know, you get to the point where you're just exhausted. Physically, mentally. It's just exhausting to continue to show up to work. You're a professional player. The goal is ultimately to win some games. And, you know, on just a very short-term basis, the goal is to win whatever game is in front of you. And to fail at that goal 19 consecutive times, to see yourself lose as a competitor 19 consecutive times, it wears on you to the point where you saw this team, you know, Marc Gasol played 36 minutes, Dylan Brooks played 39 minutes, Tyreke Evans played 38 minutes in this game. Most importantly of all, Ben McLemore did not play any minutes. That tells you how serious they were about winning. It was a very tight, essentially an 8-man rotation, with Mario Chalmers having a little cameo, but for the most part, it was starters playing all 30 minutes or more, and, you know, bench coming in with a little contribution here and there. Wayne Selden was really good in this ball game, 4 of 5 from three. This was about trying to win. I mean, they treated this like a playoff game, and you may think, and I get it. I mean, it doesn't make any sense long term from the strategic standpoint of tanking, trying to get the most ping pong combinations. I get it. But, man, they needed this win. And you could tell the way they approached this game, bringing Tyreke back a couple of games ago. You know, they wanted to get back to some winning just for a guy like Dylan Brooks. You know, I mean, Marc Gasol obviously wears on him, but he's well compensated, and he, I think, understands the gist of what's happening. But for rookies, for Dylan Brooks, who's really worked hard and gotten a lot better, to have that not be rewarded by any kind of a win, any kind of a positive thing, is tough. So just for the psychological assurance, and just to kind of take some of that pressure off, that was really important. So I get it. You'll say, and you'll be right, you'll say they shouldn't have worried about winning the game. But trust me, that locker room, those guys needed a win, just needed something positive to happen throughout this season. We'll talk about more about what that means and what actually happened in the game going forward. As always, you're listening to the Locked On Podcast Network, a terrific, terrific network. And by the way, you're going to want to check out Locked On NBA this week, because coming up later on in the week, you will hear from NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, an exclusive interview with our own David Locke, talking about that. One of the fastest growing networks out there, and we are doing terrific work on the Locked On Podcast Network. You're going to want to give it a listen. And that interview will be up later on this week. Check it out. So in the game itself, the Grizzlies got off to an unbelievable start. First quarter, 34-17, but really it was 34-14. They shot out of their minds, and Denver was horrendous to begin this ball game. And you just—it was a much crisper, just much more comfortable-looking Grizzly group that was out there for the first time in a while, and everything was cool. Everything was cool. Really, really good stuff until about, what, 2 minutes left in the first half, and the Nuggets go on a 17-3 run to close out the first half and to make it all of a sudden a game at the half that was super comfortable. Is a five-point game. It was never, I mean, it was a 20-point game at points in the first half, and it ends up being a five-point game at the half, and then the Nuggets come out and score again, and early in the third quarter, you're thinking, oh, geez. But the Grizzlies ran it back up, got pulled back, reeled back late in the game, and then finished the job, finally, a brutal fourth quarter. But they finished the job, they did what they had to do, and they got the win. I mentioned Dylan Brooks. He led the way with 24 points, and Dylan Brooks has been very impressive. He's getting better. You can see that he's feeling more confident in his shot. Over the last five games, Dylan Brooks is scoring 18 points a game, shooting 44% from the field, almost 40% from three. He's becoming a very reliable scorer for this team, and he's shooting the ball well from the outside, as you saw in this ball game. He got really, really hot in that third quarter, hitting four threes in like the first 7 minutes of the third quarter. He was amazing. He's got that capability, and as a rookie, it's exciting to watch what he can do. And he's had his ups and his downs this year, but he's played so much. I mean, you're talking about a guy that has been out there pretty much for everything that the Grizzlies, good, whatever little good and a whole lot of bad this year, he's been out there for pretty much all of it. There are only five rookies in the league, well, there will be five after tonight, who have played 2,000 minutes, and Dylan Brooks is the only second rounder among them. Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, Kyle Kuzma have all played slightly more minutes than Brooks, but he's right up there. He'll pass the 2,000-minute mark tonight, played in every game. And as a second rounder, again, you know, so much has been thrust upon him. This was not the role that he was envisioned to have. The development that he's had to make has been very quick and probably quicker than he would like, but he's really coming on. And instead of hitting that rookie wall, he's starting to improve, and you're seeing a lot more confidence from the guy. He doesn't play like a rookie. He's able to defend, you know, at a pretty high level, you know, against, now he's getting, when he plays the two, it's a problem for him, and that's unfortunately been the case a lot of times with these lineups the Grizzlies have thrown out there with Jermichael Green and Jarrell Martin playing together. So Brooks is sort of forced to the two. He's not really fast enough to deal with a lot of twos out there, but he's a very crafty player, and he makes good decisions on both sides of the ball. He's not going to hurt you. So that's why I think he's a good rotation guy for the future. I'm not saying he's a game changer or anything like that, but you can see what he adds to a team, and he's the kind of guy that you can throw in there and be very confident in a, you know, any situation that he's going to be able to give you, you know, between 20 and 30 minutes of solid play, and he will occasionally be able to really shoot the ball well. His usage rate has gone up quite a bit of late. You know, this year, for the year, he's got a 16% usage rate, but over the last five games, that's 24%. So, you know, as he's getting bigger chunks of the offense, he's not losing his ability to score. His percentages aren't going down. If anything, they're going up, which is a good sign. You know, a lot of times you give a guy more responsibility, you give him more usage, he's more of a focal point, and those numbers diminish because he becomes inefficient, he can't handle that kind of a load. But Dylan Brooks has been able to handle it thus far. It's a very positive sign going forward, and it has not really affected his defense. His defense, generally speaking, has gotten a little bit better over the course of the season. It's really hard to tell with the Grizzlies in defense, quite honestly, because of the nature of some of the lineups that they had to play and just the season in general. You know, defense is it's hard to gauge on bad teams. It's hard to gauge good individual defenders on bad teams. NBA defense these days is such a team concept that, you know, honestly, you can't really, you can't tell. I mean, it's so hard to say this guy, oh, if you put him in a better scheme, or you put him with better teammates, or you put him in a better situation, he'd be a better defender. You can assume that, but you don't know. And it's hard to really project that. But that said, I do think that Dylan Brooks is proving to be a guy that will fit well in those schemes. And so there's some positive things to look at from Brooks. I think there's some positive things to look at from, I tell you this, it has not been a great year for Marc Gasol. I mean, just flat out, so many reasons why. I give him credit, though, for not giving up, for trying hard pretty much all the time, for being into it to try to help these the young players. You know, you could see him on the bench when he's not playing, and that wasn't often on Saturday, but he pumps his fist, jumps up, gets excited. You know, he's trying to teach. He's been trying to be as positive as he can be. I was surprised, and pleasantly so, by that, and I'm happy for Mark that he gets that W. Tyreke Evans continues to look, you know, a lot better, you know, shooting the basketball, even though he's only 2 of 7 in the game. He just, the three looks so much more comfortable this year from him than it did in years past. And he's, you know, he's such a difference maker for this Grizzlies team. He's the best player on this Grizzlies team by far. This year, he's been the biggest difference maker of all. Pretty remarkable to see how much different and how much better the team looks when Tyreke is out there. He makes Deonte Davis look better. They had a nice little, you know, alley-oop. It just flows better when you've got Tyreke Evans out there. I mentioned Wayne Selden. You know, he's been up and down this year, but that's what he can give you. 16 points on 7 shots, 4 of 5 from 3. He can absolutely do that for you in any given game, and he's, you know, he's going to be important because he can defend. And if he can defend, he can shoot threes like that, then he's going to have a place on a good team going forward. Also nice to see Bryante Weber back. Now, I know Bryante Weber's, you know, he's not a, I don't think he's a full-time NBA player, but man, he's fun to watch, and he does make smart plays. He does move. He helps the offense move. He doesn't kill you the way that some of these G League guys will kill you. He doesn't kill you. He's got pretty heady defensive instincts. You know, he's just not very big, so that's going to limit him long term. But man, it's fun to watch him. And I think he has a little infectious personality that helps with the what's been a very, very rough season for the Grizzlies. Grizzlies defended better. They looked better. They looked more into it. And the Nuggets, frankly, did not look all that into it, which definitely helped the Grizzlies get the win. Now, here's the thing. They won. And that's good for them psychologically. But the margins are so fine down at the bottom of this NBA race, this tank race that we are seeing, that one win out of 20 games dropped them behind Phoenix. One win. That's it. Phoenix is 19-52. One win. That's all it took. So let's say the Grizzlies win again tonight. They could win against Brooklyn. That drops them now probably behind Atlanta when all is said and done. So two wins can knock you back down the ladder. And if you win two or three more, and I think the Grizzlies, if they continue to play Tyreke Evans, they are going to win a few more of these games. You know, you win three more games and you're down there with Dallas, Brooklyn. Sacramento's won. I mean, they've won 5 of their last 10 ball games, for crying out loud. That's dropped them down to 7th as it stands right now in the draft lottery. Point is, you can't mess around. And now that the Grizzlies have gotten a win, there are 13 games left in the season starting tonight. The goal now should be to just tank. Drop the rope, let it go, and you've gotten the win that you needed. You're not going to be the worst team in the history of the NBA. You're not going to have the longest losing streak in the history of the NBA. You're not going to have that albatross around your neck. So let it go. Drop it. Tyreek Evans, that rib injury should come back right about now. Marc Gasol, the knee, the foot, whatever it is, it's got to come back right about now. Ben McLemore should play 40 minutes a night. Whatever you got to do to lose these games. And Ben McLemore, boy, what an incredible losing omen he is. The Grizzlies are so bad when he plays. 5-40 when he plays this year. And 14-10 now when he doesn't. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. So, play him a ton. Play the guy. I mean, that's whatever you got to do, because you don't need to be messing around. I could absolutely see the Grizzlies winning, you know, screwing around and winning 3 or 4 more games the rest of the way. Again, you get to the back end of the season, and in theory, there are some tricky games left. But, look, tonight, Brooklyn at Philly. Okay, Philly, that's probably a loss for sure. At Charlotte on Thursday, and then home against the Lakers, you could win both those games. No doubt about it. Then, fast forward 2 weeks, Sacramento, you could win that game. Detroit, you could win that game. That's the home finale. Those games alone, that could get you 4 wins. And 4 wins means you finish with 23. 23 right now is 7th. Now, a few teams will win a few more, so that'll drop down a little bit, but I think 23 wins puts you 4th or 5th when all is said and done, and that may not be enough. I mean, that's going to put you, if you're in the 4th spot, that gives you a 38% chance of getting in the top 3 and a 12% chance of getting number 1 overall. 5th spot, 25% chance. Same thing with 6th spot, essentially. So, top 6 is just about right. There's a drop-off from 6 to 7. If you could at least finish in top 6, you'd be a little bit better off. But, again, I just tell you, you need to, now that you've gotten that one win and you've proven you can do it, don't do it again. Don't keep doing it. Now is the time to lose. Drop the rope. Let it go. Lose. Feel free. You will thank me for it later. I can promise you that. Now, as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned and some of the guys that you have been watching, no doubt, with an eye for the Grizzlies and the draft, let me tell you something. Most of the guys are going home. Trae Young out in the first round after a 28-point performance, but really highlighted a lot of the good and bad of his game. He had to chuck it a lot and did not necessarily end all that well, even though he hit some big shots in some key moments, and his teammates didn't help him, but that's kind of been the story of their entire season at Oklahoma. Jaren Jackson out for Michigan State after a 2.8 rebound performance, but we'll talk about it later on. I just think you can't really evaluate Jaren Jackson based on what you saw with Michigan State this year, because Tom Izzo used him really, really stupidly. DeAndre Ayton out, 14 points, 13 rebounds, but some miserable defense. And his team got absolutely destroyed by Buffalo, of all teams, in the NCAA tournament. So he is out. And now Marvin Bagley, Wendell Carter, they're still in it. Duke had 2 very comfortable victories, so no worries there. Those guys are in it. Miles Bridges, of course, out as well for Michigan State. So, I mean, it's pretty much everybody, or just about everybody, who is in the mix for that for the pick that the Grizzlies are going to have, apart from Luka Doncic, who obviously is not playing. Michael Porter, you can throw him in the mix as well. 16 points, 10 rebounds, but again, did not play especially well. Looked gassed at the end, and Missouri got smacked down. So, you know, it's hard to. So much is put on the evaluation of these guys, especially when you watch in the NCAA tournament. It's such a, it's an obvious thing. You want to watch these guys you want to see them play in these big games, and you want to put a lot of weight. Everyone does. You just put a lot of weight on those games because it's such a big thing. It's such a big moment. It's so easily televised. It's, you know, you just tend to put more on it. I would suggest don't do that. Keep an eye. We'll talk about these guys. Oh, it's a very intriguing draft. I mentioned Colin Sexton. He's out as well. It's a very intriguing draft, though. So much talent. I mean, a tremendous amount of talent. But I think almost everybody that's involved, talent-wise, has significant upside and probably a significant downside, too. I think that includes DeAndre Ayton. I think that includes Marvin Bagley. I think that includes Doncic. I think that includes Trae Young. I think that includes Michael Porter. I mean, you can go up and down the list. I don't think there's anybody who is a stone-cold, safe lock the way that Karl-Anthony Towns was or Anthony Davis was or any of the guys that we've seen in years past that are the number one overall pick. I think the temptation is to put DeAndre Ayton in that category. I don't think he belongs there. I don't think he belongs there. And you've seen why throughout the year, highlighted again by what happened in the NCAA tournament. But we've got plenty of time to discuss that. For now, bigger business. The Grizzlies need to lose tonight to Brooklyn. Can they do it? We'll find out. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Thank you, as always, for listening to Locked On Grizzlies. You want to get in touch with me? You can. I'm at Peter Edmiston on Twitter, pedmiston@gmail.com. On the email, please feel free to shoot me a message. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for reviewing the podcast so positively. And thank you for being part of it, even through a tough season. It was a win. And trust me, it was a needed win. But let's not get crazy. Let's not start doing that too much. What do you say? We'll talk about it later on. You've been Locked On Grizzlies.